Joining me at this roundtable are Victoria Ramirez, director of the El Paso Museum of Art, Zaira Torres, editor of the El Paso Times, artist Aide Alonso, Julian Aguilar from the Texas Tribune, Claudia Flores from the Utah Prospector, KFOX 14 News anchor Robert Olguin, Chicano Studies lecturer at the University of Texas at El Paso, Elvira Carizal Dukes, Molly Schrader from the Tejano Tribune, and last, but certainly not least, Chicano art collector, comedian, actor, writer, etc., Chich Marin. Welcome to State of the Arts. So I'll go ahead and get this party started and ask you, Chich, what's your take on the border, border artists, and the importance of collecting border art?
Border art is essentially Chicano art started as a political face of the Chicano civil rights movement. And so border issues were always very important because they were the most recent memories of many people, you know, and as farther away they got from the border, then other issues came into play. But it's obviously a very hot topic subject right now throughout the United States, especially here, which is kind of the center of it right now, whether you have a situation in Juarez and aquí en El Paso. It has brought it to the forefront of American and international news right now, because it is how do we formulate a policy that is beneficial for both countries? So long question's been being asked for a long time, and there's been different solutions to it or different propositions that make it. Nothing made it work to the benefit of, well, chiefly Mexico, but nothing made it to the benefit of everybody concerned. So it's an ongoing issue. And it is up to the artist, I think, to kind of illuminate the process, because there's nothing better than to see an image that says a picture is worth a thousand words. And that's absolutely true. And that's why the artists in this particular field are so important, because you see it and it brings emotion and intellectual curiosity and intelligence and everything to the forefront right away. You know, and good art should do that. You should get it immediately, but you should question it perpetually, you know. So that's a kind of, not the quandary, but the opportunity that's involved with a focus on border art. It can be as current as tomorrow and as traditional as the history of both countries. So it's a viably important subject. You know, I'm of the opinion that, you know, there's a lot of different schools of art that are based on a lot of different things. You can have it based on geometry or color palette or texture, or you can have it based upon the concerns of a community, which is, for me, the most important one. I mean, everybody can do color palette, geometry, but to tell the story of a people is much more important, to me anyways, than of those other aspects. And so we're, whether Chicano artists and Mexican artists and American artists want to be involved in this or not, they are, because it is the most important topic, or one of the most important topics of the country right now. So you're in the center of it. You're in El Paso, El Chuco, the meeting place.
Well, we're going to give it to Zaira Torres from the El Paso Times to ask her next question.
Well, I'd like to follow up on that a little bit. I was reading some of your previous interviews on Chicano art in your collection, and I was reading one in 2005 where CNN quotes you talking about the importance of bringing Chicano art to the masses, and you talked about wanting to share what Chicano art does, and the quote is, to symbolize the inclusion of the Latin and Latinos' cultural contribution in the mainstream that has kind of not been recognized. It's been more than a decade since that interview. Can you talk about where we stand in reaching that level of understanding, and has the recent political discourse made it more difficult?
It has made it more difficult but more present simultaneously. It's like trying to open a kiwi fruit. There's a lot of thorns in there in order to get to the fruit in the middle. It is an omnipresent topic, and not made any better by our current administration, but it does bring it to the focus and to the forefront. So that is good as far as making Chicano art. And it is on its journey. Art is a slow grinding wheel. It is the final imprimatur of a culture, because inclusion in a museum signals acceptance, you know. And so we have, from the beginning, been told that Chicano artists, well, that you aren't really fine artists, you are agitprop folk art, and go back to your little barbed wire ghettos. Okay, well, I don't think so. But as we've gone on, as Chicanos and Mexicanos and Latinos generally do, they say, okay, great, and kept on progressing. That's where we are today. And I've spent the last 35 years traveling around the country to every major museum and representing Chicano shows, because my mantra has been that you cannot love or hate Chicano art unless you see it. And when you see it, then you make up your own mind. You know, because there's nobody standing next to you when you're viewing art generally. There's not the artist telling you, well, this is what I meant, or that's not. It's what it means to you. You know, and you get to interpret it. That's the great thing about art. Any abstraction in art is the door that allows you to go in and interpret it for your own benefit or for your own clarification. But we've been very fortunate recently in that I've been given a museum in Riverside, California, in order to house the collection as the center of Chicano art, culture, and industry. That's in the city of Riverside, California, which is a very interesting city. I don't know if anybody's been there, but it's a beautiful city, very culturally significant. In the 1880s, Riverside, California was the richest per capita city in the United States because of citrus. They grew citrus on there, built a railroad right into the groves, and everybody that lived there got rich, and they started commissioning buildings of the period, and through happenstance, or maybe providence, this building in the center of the cultural district of Riverside became empty. There was a museum, a library. Beautiful mid-century building, 66,000 square feet. And they were building a new library, and so they had to repurpose this building. And through a series of coincidence, I opened this show, Papel Chicano Dos, and that the Riverside Art Museum, right as this question came into view, and the town fathers thought, this would be great. You have Riverside and Inland Empire, which is 52% Chicano. 4 million, closer to 5 million people, significant. And it's always was a perfect place to do this. So it's going to house the collection, and it'll be the center of Chicano, the first, solely dedicated to Chicano art industry and culture. I'm trying to figure out the industry part of it right now, but I think I got to figure it out. You know, so I was even talking at Riverside the other day, and we've come to plant our flag here. And from that moment, this moment forward, there's no going back. And it's incumbent upon everybody involved in this issue to realize that they are part of the mainstream, a significant part of the mainstream, and they're one of the chief threads in the cultural fabric. And you would not ever, first of all, you can't unweave it. And secondly, why would you want to? You know, as it spreads, the influence and the population spreads throughout the country. You know, and I've been watching it for the last close to 50 years, and I see it's spreading and being incorporated, and it's the mortar between every other brick that's being erected here in this country. So we are a great part of it. But it's a realization of the community that, oh yes, we are part of the mainstream. I keep telling them, you are the mainstream. You are the mainstream. Act like a mainstreamer, and everybody starts to get it. You know, so. It's a really important movement here. That it's slow moving, but it's like watching a lava flow. You know, you can stand in front of it. I wouldn't if I were you, but you know, you can. But it's happening all over, you know, and all over the world as well.
Up next, we're going to give it to Julian Aguilar from the Texas Tribune.
You're known, obviously, for a lot of things, your art and your passion, but you're also an advocate for reforming marijuana laws. How much do the two coincide? How much does one influence the other, or are they mutually exclusive? And on the end of the prohibition or the laxing of the laws, is that influenced more by freedom of expression, or is that a criminal justice policy where you think that kids are getting tossed in the can for something that they shouldn't do? I mean, could you kind of speak about both themes and how they tie in together?
Yeah, well, being part of the business as I am, you find out that there's a lot of factors involved here. It's generational change, that this is the preferred intoxicant of a number of generations now rather than alcohol. I think the benefits are more accrued to the marijuana side. I've never heard a convincing argument for medical beer, you know. And so But for medical marijuana, there's, even in the face of not being able to do research or studies on it, there is a lot of medical benefits. And it is a way to minimize an incarcerated certain segment of the population. There's a reason why it's called marijuana. You know, it's like, oh, okay, they're getting it. And so now more and more enlightened politicians are seeing, there's 29 states now that have some form of legalized marijuana. And they contribute a great deal of money to their respective states, mainly in the form of education, where the money goes. You can fight against them, and I hope Sessions does fight against them, because I want this fight. You know, I really want this fight. I want to see him take on, he's a states' rights guy, supposedly, except when it's not convenient for him. But I'd like to see him fight 29 well-financed states right now. I'd love to see that. I want to bring this, you want to get it on? Let's get it on. This is a perfect time. You know, and every election cycle, 4 or 5 more states join up. You know, so, por favor. You know what this is? It is the socially accepted intoxicant. Or, you know, medical, has many medical benefits. We're finding more and more. I think it is, and to incarcerate primarily the black population and Latino population and fill the prisons that benefits their control. It's not now the time to have that fight.
You want to predict when Texas is going to get on board?
Jesus. You know, let me answer this real quick. I've always been flummoxed about Texas. You know, it had the most radical hippies and the most, you know, but there were hippies with a rifle rack, you know, in their car. So there's, please, how does it go? You know, they have Willie Nelson and Bush, you know, at the same time. So what's the message? I don't know, dudes. You know, but I love Texas. I love every city I've ever been to in Texas. I love it here in El Paso. I've been coming here since I was 6 years old, you know, and every other place. So, you know, there's this discussion that's going on, and we can't be afraid to be assertive in this discussion right now, because it's our time.
Thank you, sir.
And on that note, we'll give it to Claudia from the Prospector at UTEP.
I'm going to go a little bit big with your acting career. You had a small participation in the Pixar film Coco.
Yeah.
How was it for you to work with Coco, especially with the recognition this film has gained and the impact it has had?
It was a wonderful film. I mean, it was a just wonderful film. And I've been involved in many Disney Pixar films. They're the biggest. They're Lion King, Three Cars, Oliver and Company. And I was asked, John Lasseter is always puts me in these films. And I was asked to do a scene in this, and it was great. I was transformed by this film. I mean, I was really taken away. There was some turns and twists in the plot, you know, because it was a great script. And not only a great executed film as far as art goes, it was like spectacular on every level every time it turned around. And I was in the movie before that kind of dealt with an animated movie that had the Day of the Dead themes, Tree of Life, is that what Tree of Life was? That
Book of Life.
There we go. It was one of those, and it was good. This Coco was spectacular, and is going to be one of the greatest right now. It's one of the greatest animated films of all time. And just coincidentally, either Cheech or Chong was in the last two animated films that won an Oscar. So you know, it was a great film, and it'll live for a very long time. And anybody I've ever talked to that scene that goes, it was so emotional because the themes were so unexpected and the plot twists were unexpected and like, wow, but it was the art in it was shy. It was really spectacular. It was a pleasure, it was an honor to be there.
And now we'll give it over to Robert Oldeen from KFOX 14.
I wanted to get back to your collection, and I wanted to talk about your collection as like an organic thing in the sense that your collection, it's now kind of taken on as a life of its own, and with what's happening in Riverside, and with the prestige of the collection, do you give thought to how much you will change an artist's life when you include that artist in the collection? Yeah. Do you think about what?
I noticed that is happening. You know, it was certainly not my intention to I saw that as a byproduct of what we were doing. But a lot of the artists go, I said, God, since I'm in the collection, I sell a lot. And so I know everybody's, because artists of whatever stripe struggle in obscurity. It's a tough way to make a buck, you know? And it's like, artist, boxer. I think, I'll take boxer, man. I can probably make more money on that, you know? Getting hit in the head sounds better than, you know, there's part and parcel of being out there for so long and doing it and being on the road and putting it, because I'm used to being on the road. I've done it for all my life, you know. And this was just a tour to me. I mean, that wasn't just another tour, but it was, the process was alike. I'm trying to use the media as much as possible, but the word of mouth in art is very strong, you know. I mean, the last thing people want to do is say, wish I had, buy a loaf of bread or get a painting, you know. It's like, You know what the answer is, but art enriches us, you know, every time, you know, and every time you go to a museum, if you go and see something that transforms you, that is good for your soul, and especially in this context about the soul of a country that we all love, you know. And I was very fortunate in the beginning of my collecting, as I first started collecting painters from L.A., because that's who I saw, and they know, in San Francisco. And very early in the process, I was introduced to the artists of Texas, the Chicanos artists of Texas, because there was a woman named Sofia Perez that had a gallery in San Antonio, and she opened a branch in L.A., and she started showing me these Texas painters, all the ones that you know. And I looked at that, and I go, this is the same DNA. You know, these are the city cousin and the country cousin, but they're talking about the same thing. So that's when I started realizing this is a school of art that really describes this whole community and the way it's spreading and the way it is integrated. And so then I started promoting it as a Chicano school of art that is widespread in many, many places. And I got a lot of pushback on that from the community artists or the museum community, because first of all it was me, and the second, well, because no, we don't have schools anymore. That's too old school, you know. Okay, but well, you can call it whatever you want, but for my definition, a school is a place where you come together to learn about something and argue and agree and fashion it. And if that is the case, then this is not a school, this is a university. And I wanted all those voices to kind of be raised and be aware of each other. L.A. and Texas were the two big foundation rocks of this. And then it started spreading out. And it was really important that that happened.
We're listening to a special edition of State of the Arts featuring a roundtable discussion with art collector and comedian Cheech Marin. More to come after this.